All right, without further ado, let me introduce Carol Ward Allen, Director, BART Board Director, and Chairwoman of the BART Police Review Committee.
Thank you. Good morning to all of you, and thank you very much for being here this long morning. I first want to acknowledge all of the community that are here. Director Sweet, who has worked tirelessly with me on this particular situation, members of the Oscar Grant family that are here, and all of the young people and all of the families that were, and young people who were impacted by that evening. We want to acknowledge all of them. It is my pleasure to have all of the distinguished leaders standing behind me, from youth to elders, and I'll let everybody behind me is a youth. And I want to thank them again very much. I am chairperson of the BART Police Review Committee, and I represent the Fruitvale Station. That's where, as you know, in 2009, on New Year's Eve, we had the tragedy that led to the shooting of Oscar Grant. I humble myself before the family because, believe me, that tragedy has impacted all of us. It has really impacted me deeply because I live in the area that is my station, and I use it frequently. So I am concerned about the safety of the entire community, but also the safety of people getting home safely on BART. Not only was I elected to represent that station area, as I said, it is my community. So bringing resolution to this tragedy is very important to me, because I don't want to ever see another incident like that again. But if there is one, we want to be ready day one. And what makes me feel very wonderful is we've worked very hard and tirelessly. The group behind have worked almost 24/7 at times just to make sure that we have an oversight committee and that we make sure that we don't have incidents like this again. We are here to see that the citizen oversight of the BART Police Department becomes a reality, and we want it this year, before the end of the year. But we need help from the state legislature, and we need it soon. The state legislation session ends September 11th, of all days, 9/11. And without state lawmakers amending the BART Act, we cannot take the next step towards citizen oversight. The window of opportunity is closing fast. The window of opportunity is now. The community has met the challenge. It has provided heartfelt, intelligent input into how citizen oversight should function. The BART board members have delivered on their promise. We have unanimously adopted citizen oversight. We always want you to know that when you come together with everyone, some people have to give up something to get something. Is it perfect? No. But it is a document that is a living document. It's one that we can work with and one that we hope to tweak and make perfection as we go along. Now it's up to the state legislators to act and act soon. Without hesitation, I would like to invite up some of our community leaders, and we're going to start with the uncle of Oscar Grant. Mr. Johnson, will you come up, please?
Good evening, everyone.
Morning.
My name is Cephas Johnson, and I'm the uncle of Oscar Grant, the now deceased young man who was my sister Lonnie's son. Our family have suffered a great loss this year due to this shooting that took his life on January 1st on the platform of the BART Fruitvale Station. We have struggled mightily with sadness and anger every day because of his loss. But we have vowed to find meaning in this tragedy by working to make certain that such things does not happen again. To that end, I have participated in many months of work with BART officials in the community to inject a citizen oversight component into the Bark Police Department. To that end, and we have come up with a framework together that must be implemented now. I stand here today urging the state lawmakers to quickly pass a bill before September recess to allow BART to establish a citizen oversight of its police force this year. I stand here today with members of our community and the BART board to say that we have committed ourselves to finding a solution to the excessive use of force by police officers. We have no time to waste. Our lawmakers should not make us wait before changing the BART code to allow the independent set of eyes on the BART police force and some common sense improvement to training and the use of force that a citizen committee and an independent auditor will help to accomplish. To this month, in a unanimous vote, the BART board directors delivered on its promise to improve police services and public confidence by approving an independent citizen oversight of the BART Police Department. The BART Board has commissioned extensive independent expert analysis of its police department and acting to correct problems which have been identified. The citizen oversight model approved by the board will be one of the strongest in the state, but the legislator must give BART the authority to monitor its police department in a different way for everyone's benefit. We urge our state representative to take swift action so we can implement citizen oversight this year as we continue to work to make BART Police Department the best it can be. In the weeks and months after the death of my nephew, elected leaders and expressed outrage and sympathy to us, and I took comfort in their word. But what matters most is the effort to find ways to be certain that this mistake will not be repeated and that other families will not have to experience a similar loss. The BART Board is working with us to improve its police department. Certainly, as a citizen, I support the police because they play a vital role in keeping our neighborhood safe. But at the same time, we must hold all peace officers that act under a broad badge of authority, who carry guns and deal face-to-face with our community daily, to a vigorous standard of accountability and professionalism. Citizen oversight will help us improve the BART Police Department, and the state legislator needs to share this urgency in getting this done. Thank you.
Listening so tightly here. Okay, our next person is a very distinguished gentleman in the Bay Area and here in our community, Minister Keith Muhammad. Thank you.
On January the 7th, I was blessed to stand with many community activists, leaders, and concerned citizens who stood to demand justice in the murder of Oscar Grant. We worked feverishly from that time to this to bring about days such as this, where not only are we seeking justice in the criminal proceedings, but we're seeking justice in permanent systematic change. There's a scripture that says that justice stands afar off and equity cannot enter because truth is laying in the street. It is fitting that every department in our area should have a civilian oversight proceeding to ensure that truth no longer lays in the street in police abuse and excessive force cases, but that truth would be lifted, that the community itself can have a participatory role in ensuring that justice be served not only against an individual officer, but against systems where systems have been known to fail. And so we stand firmly by the family of Oscar Grant. We stand firmly with all of those that demand change. There's an old adage that says that dissatisfaction leads to a change. And with three fatalities, surely BART itself should be dissatisfied with how things have gone in the past. We know that the community is dissatisfied with how this case has unraveled, and so we're looking forward to the state legislature doing what it should do, and that is to secure a system here in BART that would provide for civilian oversight.
Our next speaker is Reverend Daniel Buford.
My name is Reverend Daniel Buford. I'm a minister at the Island Temple Baptist Church in Oakland, California. First, giving honor to God, the beneficent and merciful one, the one God to whom praise is due forever. I'd like to, first of all, stand with the comments that have already been made and stand with the family of Oscar Grant and all of those young men who suffered tragedy on January the 1st. We have heard recently many people, usually ministers, get in trouble for using the phrase "chickens come home to roost," and I'm not going to, because of the things that other ministers and religious people, the problems that they have gotten into using that phrase, I'm not going to use that phrase today. But perhaps chickens coming home to roost isn't the appropriate one. Chickens that have hatched. People playing chicken with justice is more appropriate to talk about today. Because I believe that Senator Tom Amiano is playing chicken with justice in the Bay Area, in the East Bay. Here is a representative that has had no shootings by BART in his district. Here is a representative who has not consulted with the committee that has created the police citizens oversight process that we're now talking about. Here is a man who has not even consulted with the elected representative of this area, Sandre Swanson, before crafting the bill that he has crafted. And it seems to me that in all of this rush to get a bill crafted with his name on it, his name on a bill is more important than justice for Oscar Grant. So then he's playing chicken with justice. Because we need justice right now. Not justice delayed because of the arcane rules of the state legislature, but justice right now. Because justice delayed is justice denied. So then what Senator Amiano wants to do, because his ego is more important than justice for Oscar Grant, his ego is more important than consulting with his colleague who is from this district, his ego is more important than looking at the groundswell of citizen participation that has now rehabilitated the BART director's image, so that they are now more accountable than Tom Amiano is to this issue. So then we stand today to say that Senator Amiano needs to quit playing chicken with justice. We stand today to say that his bill is a competing quagmire of irrelevancy. A competing quagmire of irrelevancy because it makes the issue now his bill.
That's right.
And not justice for Oscar Grant.
That's right.
The issue is now his bill, but not a police citizen's oversight process that is credible. The issue is now his bill rather than us coming together as a community and healing from the tragedies that brought the social unrest, the racial unrest, and the other unrest that we in Oakland have been experiencing as a result of this thing. These things did not happen in a corner, nor did they happen in San Francisco. They happened right here in Oakland. So Senator Amiano needs to quit playing father knows best with the interests of the black community. He needs to quit playing father knows best with the interests of the East Bay community and quit playing chicken with justice for Oscar Grant. Thank you.
Okay, at this time, I would like to introduce, excuse my voice, two young persons, Eric Fuller, and following him, Beatrice Cuevas. And I want to acknowledge some distinguished gentlemen that are up here behind us, Reverend Amos Brown, Reverend Clarence Thomas, and Reverend Reggie Lyles.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
As we all know, my name is Eric Fuller.
And my name is Beatrice Cuevas.
And today is the way of acting now. The time to act is now. The community has raised its collective voice to work with the BART Board of Directors in order to make a significant change to the BART Police Department. Our lawmakers should not make Bay Area communities wait another year for changes to be made that needed to be made yesterday. Citizens' oversight is not just giving citizens the right to overlook, but the right to voice their opinions in matters that they know is best for not only themselves, but for also their communities. The time to act is now. BART police departments and all police departments need citizens' oversight now, otherwise changes will be long overdue to changes that needed to be made today and yesterday.
I think it's important for the community to have a voice because we need to speak up for what we have concerns for. And it's important for our legislators to understand that we have a concern that needs to be dealt with right now and not next year or the year after. And it's important for us to stand up and to say something about that and to be powerful and to use our voices to say that we're not going to wait until next year to have our concern dealt with.
The Martin Luther King Jr. Freedom Center has been working with the BART Police Department in order to ensure that citizens such as Oscar Grant and the unfortunate tragedy that happened on January 1st will not happen again. BART Police Department and the Martin Luther King Jr. Freedom Center Youth has been ensuring that the world knows that the police department and the youth are not enemies, but are collective members in one giant community. Everybody in the Martin Luther King Jr. Freedom Center knows that changes made today are impacts to particular incidents that happened yesterday. As we understand the collectiveness in becoming a collective community, and not just a segregated, isolated town, we fully understand what it means to become a collective community. We understand what it means to become the people that we are meant to be. And we fully understand that there are people behind the badge, that there are people behind the power, and that there are true people out there that understand that a threat to justice everywhere is injustice anywhere. Thank you for your time. We, from the Martin Luther King Jr. Freedom Center, thank you for being out today, and we hope to see you again sometime. Thank you.
I want everybody to know that I did not forget Dr. Reverend Archbishop Lewis, but I also wanted to give her an opportunity to speak because I like to hear from our women ministers too.
Okay. Good morning. We're so happy to see you out this morning. The media is so important to this particular incident because the media brings to the rest of the world how the city of Oakland is coping with the untimely tragedy of Oscar Grant. We know that the branches have been pruned all the way back in the Oakland community. We know that now it's time for the blood of Abel to be heard. We do not want, and let's emphasize, we do not want bureaucracy to impede our power and our progress. For a choice of words, super quorum, super majority vote shall not become window dressing for stopping this particular bill with the BART Act. Whoever the powers that be need to understand that we've done our work. We have soothed the feathers of many. We have helped to form a more perfect union by understanding that it takes two to understand each other, not shouting, not anger, but not trying to have discord. We want harmony. And if we saw something out of the left side of our neck come out with Senator Amiano, his two words, supermajority or simple majority, that is cosmetology turned on something that is so salient to our point. Let's get the job done. Let's get the Citizen Oversight Committee done. We have done our part. 4 weeks. As mothers of the City of Oakland, we want 4 weeks to implement the Citizens Oversight Review Board. We've done our work. Let's not go back and revisit. Let's go forward and understand change means change. Does not mean lack of change and lack of discord. We want harmony in Oakland. And speaking for the mothers that have their babies in their arms, as we see them today, we do not want another incident where our youth is shut off at 21. Thank you so very much. Again, we want change in citizen oversight today. Thank you.
I would be remiss in not allowing Reverend John Amos and Reverend Clarence Johnson to have a word here. I mean, Amos Brown.
That's Amos's honor, right? Because Amos was a famous prophet of justice in biblical history. I'm here this morning, and I have skated through three meetings already, because I was determined to be here after I received the call. To remind our assemblypersons, our senator, that if there were an earthquake of a seismic proportion of 8 or 9, we would stop everything and rush to the rescue. This issue of racism, the abuse of the authority of police personnel, is of seismic proportion in this nation and in this Bay Area. I'm from San Francisco, but obviously BART rolls through San Francisco. Yes. And I just want to lovingly and respectfully not repeat what has already been said about the actions of our senator, but I have to tell you that Mr. Senator needs to realize that he must not become that which he hated. He and his community have hated people being mean to gays and lesbians because of their lifestyle. I am one preacher who stood up for the right of gays and lesbians to live out their lives and to pursue happiness in this nation and in this Bay Area. And I'm just appealing to Mr. Amiano to remember that black folks deserve the same justice and respect that gay and lesbian and transgender people deserve in this nation. We ought to have had no reason to come here today. For the time, as Martin Luther King so eloquently said, is always right to do right. And the time is now for this measure to be passed in our state assembly and senate in order that immediately we will have in place this oversight committee. As Nike's slogan says, just do it. No need to make it a paralysis of an analysis and to drag it through the legislative process. We are, I repeat, in an earthquake. And we need to provide security, safety, sense, and sensible action on the part of our citizenry, and more importantly, on the part of those who supposedly are to craft measures that will make sure that there is liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, everyone. I am Clarence L. Johnson. I'm the senior pastor and minister of the Mills Grove Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, here in Oakland, California. And I stand to join my colleagues who have already spoken and these young people who have spoken to call for unity in this community, to join the leaders in urging a swift action on the citizen oversight of the BART police. I want to ask our legislators that they would be kind enough to support this action and to support it quickly. In an area and in a state where we spend $8,000 a year to educate a young person and $80,000 a year to incarcerate, California is quickly becoming a mass incarceration state. I believe that the input of this particular oversight committee can bring balance to the situation. And so I stand again to ask for the support of those who make these laws. We need unity in our community, and we need swift action on this Citizens Oversight Committee for the BART Police. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm going to do something that's slightly unorthodox, but I really want to thank Reggie Lyles very much for all of the hard work that he has done. He has served as a consultant for me, but he was selected because he is very active in Allen Temple and in the community, the religious community. He grew up in the streets of Oakland. I knew him when. But anyway, he has served as a police officer and is very familiar with police oversight. He was one of many of the people that are standing that were part of that entire process. And he quietly works behind the scenes in contacting some of the legislatures and various people that we need to know. And I just want to thank him very, very much. And I would have him speak, but I don't want to cross hats. And I want to be careful on that. So that's the only reason. But he could probably be most of us up here speaking. At this point in time, let me present to you BART Director Lynette Sweet, my friend and colleague. Come forth, please. Thank you very much for your hard work and everything that you've done on this committee. We've been working tirelessly, and I appreciate all your efforts, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Lynette Sweet, and I am a member of the BART Board of Directors, but more importantly for this occasion, I am a member of the subcommittee that worked tirelessly to put the document together that was unanimously adopted by the BART Board of Directors, which is our citizen oversight model. Now, it's near and dear to my heart because I don't like excessive force. I don't think the people who elected me to be in this position want to see BART police officers using excessive force, using deadly force, when it's unnecessary. This is important. The importance of it is that all of the directors who sit on this board were not in favor of it, yet we were able, during the course of this year, to bring them along, and guess what? We got a unanimous vote. The BART Police Department is not the worst, but it's not the best. And we can certainly do better. We may not have a lot of complaints. We may not have a lot of instances. But guess what? Those three occasions where our officers shot and killed unarmed black men offends me more than anything. And it's time that we have extra eyes looking at our police department, which is what we're trying to get done. We have worked with the legislators, this entire year by keeping them in the loop with where we were in this process. We let them know about the community meetings. We let them know about the first, the second, the third, even the 25th draft of where we were, so that we followed their directions all along the way to bring them this final document. Now that we have this final document, it's important for them to understand that we can't go further until they act. The BART Act needs to be changed in two ways. One, we need to have authority given to the BART Board of Directors to have an auditor report directly to the BART Board of Directors. Second, we need to have an amendment so that disciplining a police officer is no longer the sole jurisdiction of the BART police chief. Doesn't sound like a lot, and for me, I know it's important, but it is a whole lot. But they gotta do it. We don't have the luxury, nor can we afford to stand up on January 1st, 2010 and say, we have nothing tangible to show for this year. We promised the community, we promised people that we were going to make a difference and we were going to make a change. That change needs to happen now before the session ends. And when we start talking budget, here's just how committed BART has been. We have budgeted money already for this. So we have the funding here at BART. We can't use that as an excuse. The community made up of several people who are outside the BART organization worked hard on this. But you gotta understand, there were also people within the BART organization. We have the BART Police Department, the president of both the BART Police Management Association and the BART Police Officers Association worked with us. The general manager worked with us. This was not done so that a whole group of folks who knew nothing would come together and say, here's what we want. We had consultants, we consulted the ACLU, we looked at every civilian oversight model in the Bay Area. We looked at ones across the country. We were trying to get the best thing possible for BART, and today we have it. The only thing we don't have is somebody willing to stand up and say, I'm going to carry this legislation for you to get that BART Act changed. And that's where And I agree with Reverend Brown. We will lovingly and respectfully ask you, help us. We can't do it without you, so help us. And to that, I'd just like to say, Carol, I know it's time to open it up for questions.
Carol?
Well, I'd like to open it up to questions right now. Yes, sir.
Okay. So, to follow up on your point, everybody's kind of hammering to Tom Amiano. So what? Is he not responding to your concerns, or he does have a competing bill, or where are things in Sacramento?
I'm trying my best to be this good political animal and not say what's really going on, but the bottom line is we need his help. He is now the chairman of the assembly, and he's Assemblyman Amiano, not Senator, but Assemblyman Amiano is now the new chairman of the Assembly Public Safety Committee. The Assembly Public Safety Committee, prior to him being the chair, also heard AB 312, which was his version of civilian oversight. Yes, yes. We welcomed his input back in January. We welcomed his insistence that something happened. What we need now is for him to understand that we've done it ourselves. This is what the community, this is what the BART Board has put together for themselves. And believe it or not, in the state of California, out of all of the civilian oversight models that are out there, BART's is probably the strictest outside of San Francisco. We are giving civilians and our auditor an opportunity to be the first voices in police discipline, and that's important. Yes, there will be an appeals process, but bottom line, those are the first voices in that discipline. Yes, sir.
Are you asking Assemblymember Amiano to amend his bill by adding what the BART Board has passed? Is that?
No. What we're asking is an amendment to the BART Act of 1957.
Okay.
So that we can have those two things I addressed, the auditor and the discipline change. We are not looking to amend his bill at all. Yeah, if we amend the BART Act itself, we can go ahead and put our plan in place.
Janice Mara, Contra Times. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, as I understand it, earlier this year, Amiano submitted 312,
correct,
that was his bill, to the Public Safety Committee, and it didn't go through. And now what? Now that the BART Board of Directors unanimously passed its own Police Oversight Board, that goes to the Public Safety Committee, right?
Well,
isn't that,
yes, the language change will have to still go through his committee, AB, I'm
right,
sorry,
yeah,
his committee, the Public Safety
because
Committee.
Because you have to amend the BART Act both so that the auditor can report to the board of directors, and so disciplining an officer is no longer the sole jurisdiction of the police chief, right?
Correct.
Those are the two differences. So I'm a little confused about his, he had already presented 312 and it didn't go through. Now, your version of a police oversight committee has to go through the public safety.
Correct. So from what we were able to ascertain from his office, he plans to bring back 312 in some other iteration next year. And unfortunately, that competes with what we are trying to get done today. We don't want to tell the community we're waiting until next year. We don't want to have 8 months worth of diligent work for naught. So we're trying to get Mr. Amiano or any of the other Bay Area legislative delegation to help us get this through.
So what was going to happen, like a, as of, say, last week, I think it was just last week, wasn't it Thursday or the week before, that the board of directors passed the new plan? So what was going to happen then? I mean, somebody...
Oh, we knew that once the plan...
Yeah.
First, the board had to adopt it.
Yeah.
And we couldn't take it to the legislature for the amendments to the BART Act until the board said, yes, we want to go forward.
Yeah.
If that hadn't happened, we'd still be at the drawing board going through draft number 2728.
So the difference now is that you didn't know that Amiano, at that time, you didn't know Amiano was going to reintroduce his bill next year?
Had no idea that it was going to be reintroduced next year. We actually thought that we were told to keep working and come up with something, which we did. So it came kind of as a shock that the intent was to have 312 reintroduced next year.
When did you find out?
I found out last Tuesday. We went up to Sacramento to do a lobbying effort with the Bay Area delegation to try and get someone to, well, hear our calls and hear what we were looking for. We had already made sure that the delegation had been given a copy of our citizens' oversight model. We had already made sure that the delegation had been given every piece of paperwork that we had been working on so that they could see kind of the map of how we got to where we are. And unfortunately, because AB 312 seemed to be the precursor to us, we were referred back to the assembly member to talk to him about it.
And he had already said that your version was a watered-down...
I really wish I could tell you what he said, but...
So do you have anybody to present it to the Public Safety Committee in the legislature? Because somebody has to, right? So...
As of today, no. We're still working on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually the whole point of being here today, is to let the world... Well, actually, just let the public know. BART has done its job. BART has put together a model that has passed muster with a lot of folks that you wouldn't see coming together on a day-to-day basis. So for us to have got so many diverse people in a room to come up with this is amazing in itself. But to then have this amazing piece stalled because of whatever reason, it's puzzling to me.
So there aren't any Bay Area lawmakers willing to pick this up? And
as of last Friday, no. Yes, sir.
I have two questions. I'm David with IndyBay.org. The first one is, the AB 312 originally died because you guys sent them a letter that said you were handling it on your own, and then every police union in the state showed up against it. They've promised to do that again. So even if you get somebody to pick up the legislation, do you think it's feasible that the state legislators will defy what the police unions want?
You know, that's a real good question, because AB 312 died because of all the reasons that you said, and we were still working on our plan. We're not asking for an assembly bill. We're asking for an amendment to something already in existence. So it may be a little different. not quite sure if we're even going to get it, but we won't know until we try. And that's exactly what we're going to try to do. We are intending to speak with the statewide, what's it called, POR Act, the police officer something something for California. We want to make sure that they're clear on where we are with what we've done and why we've done it. We may not be able to convince them not to go against us, but that doesn't mean we won't get it. And we still have to keep trying.
My second question is, will, assuming that everything goes forward, we've overcome the police resistance to it, is the civilian board going to be able to go back and look at things like the Myers-Navé report and the internal affairs investigation so that some civilians, somebody outside of the BART board, general manager, can have access to these documents that aren't being released?
Well, right now, even the BART board doesn't have access to a lot of the documents you've alluded to.
You guys haven't gotten the full report?
Of course not. There are laws in the state of California that provide protection for police officers when it comes to personnel actions. We can get generalizations, which is a public report that I think most of us in this room have already seen, but the report that specifies what happened, who did what, we're not allowed to see that because of, and I want to call it the Police Office Bill of, Police Officers Bill of Rights.
That's it.
Bobar?
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
If the, where is the two white board of directors that were supposed to be here to speak, Joel Keller and Tom Rudin, if they are also in, you know, agreement of this? Where are they at today?
The BART Police Review Committee does consist of four directors, Director Ward Allen and myself, Director Tom Radulovich from San Francisco, and Director Joel Keller from Contra Costa. I cannot answer for their absence this morning other than I'm going to assume it was something major because Director Radulovich has been a real staunch supporter of civilian oversight and a really worked hard on this committee, so I'm going to assume something major came up. Christoph?
Yeah, I have a question. It's interesting, I'll preface by saying it's interesting that 8 months after the murder of Oscar Grant, this matter becomes pressing for BART in relation to the Police Review Committee. I'm wondering why there hasn't been a similar emphasis placed on personnel matters for the BART Police Department and the BART administration. And I know that was a community demand as well. I wonder if anyone from the community would like to speak to whether those demands have been abandoned.
I wish I could answer your question, but I'm not quite sure where you're going with this. We do have a pressing issue in front of us today in order to get the review committee established this year. You have been at many of our BART meetings where personnel issues have come up, and we have tried in vain to get some things done, but it takes time, and again, personnel matters, even in actions not concerning police officers, are considered private, and you really can't give out a lot of that information. I'm sorry, I saw your hand up.
I was just wondering, how realistic is it to try to, you know, this is a very tight timetable, and what are your next steps? You mentioned a meeting with one police officers association, but
the statewide, the one that they all belong to, the POR Act. Actually, we're supposed to meet with POR Act tomorrow in Sacramento, correct? We're going to meet with them tomorrow in Sacramento to make sure they fully understand what our bill entails, and I'm sorry, what our civilian review model entails. Is it realistic? I still think it can be done. We have already provided the exact language change that we need inserted into the BART Act. If we can get somebody to carry that for us, it's not a matter of them trying to craft something out of nothing. It's already written. It's ready to go. It just needs to get in front of the eyes that can make it happen. Yes, sir.
Yes, although we are here for the BART civilian oversight proposal. However, as a community, we are very upset with BART because Chief G, Tony Peroni, and the other participants in the murder of Oscar Grant and assault of his friends have not been properly addressed, and why aren't they having been fired?
Okay. Again, personnel issues, but I can say that
there are a lot of things that hopefully you'll see in the coming days that will make a difference. And again, the personnel issues that are not open for public discussion.
I have a question about the actual draft bill. The website did not have the updated version of the bill. In the updated version, is there still a role for the general manager? And if there is a role for the general manager, why is there a role for her? What specific qualifications does she have to oversee the police department?
Well, Christoph, that's one of those questions that I can't even take a stab at, but I can answer a part of it. The first part that you asked, whether or not there's still a role for the general manager, yes, there is. The general manager is still going to be the head honcho at BART. She is still going to be the person who is in charge of the police chief. One of the things that we're trying to get out of what we're doing right now is ensure that the BART board has an independent role in this too by having the auditor report directly to the board. Yes, the general manager reports to the board as well, but we'll have kind of our eyes in the police department being a board-appointed officer.
One of the strong community demands was to change that. So if you're looking for an amendment to the BART Act, why not also amend the BART Act so that the police chief is under the supervision of the board and not a non-elected official?
Well, again, and I'm going to answer your last question, and that is one of the things that we had to do in order to even be where we are today is get the board to approve it. Now, we have a unanimous approval by the board right now for the police review model that we have. It's going to take a little bit more work to make any other changes. When I mentioned that there were a group of diverse personalities in the room working on this, that was correct. Everybody had a different idea of what they wanted and what they wanted to see. What we have right now is kind of a conglomeration of everybody's ideas there. Thank you, that's what I was looking for. Consensus of everyone. We didn't have a consensus on some of the things that you asked.
You mentioned that we're going to see a lot more things happen in the coming days.
I'm sorry, and I should rephrase that by saying, not only did we have the Myers-Nabe group doing an internal affairs investigation, we also have the National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives, NOBLE, doing a top-to-bottom assessment of the BART Police Department. That report is due in a few days. So that's what I was talking about. We would have more information in that we can work with to try to make our department better and maybe talk to some of the folks who didn't do things the way we wanted them done. And thank you all for coming.
I want to thank the members of the community, the folks here who helped support this press conference, and members of the media for attending today. My name is Lynn Salaver, Public Information Officer, and I'm concluding today's press conference. Thank you.